Amen. I want to start out by saying it's an honor and a privilege, obviously, to always preach to you guys. And in case you're wondering, Pastor Anderson is not here because he is sick. You know, he's struggling with whatever's going around where he, you know, can't talk that well. He coughs a lot, so he had a really hard time, you know, this afternoon trying to get better, and he couldn't make it. So he basically asked me to preach. You know, so what I want you guys to do right now is, if you can, go to verse number, 1 Corinthians, verse number 8 in chapter number 5, that says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And this evening I want to preach about losing loved ones. Losing loved ones. And here the Apostle Paul, he gives us comfort and confidence about what happens when a believer dies. But as you guys already know, the Christian never truly dies. You know, they simply move out of their body straight into the presence of God. And how do we know? Because of verses like Mark 16:19. "So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." Amen? Acts 1:9 says this, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, what stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So it's clear that Jesus Christ is in heaven. Acts 7:55 says this, "Stephen, right before he was martyred, he saw Jesus in heaven. It says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Just a few more. Romans 8:34. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Colossians 3:1. "If ye then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, well, Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." 1 Peter 3:22. "Who has gotten into heaven," talking about Christ, "and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." So I love this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:8, because Paul's saying, listen, heaven is a wonderful place. Obviously, why? Number one reason, because Christ is there. What could be better than that? And so he says he's confident that he'd rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And if you know the rest of the scriptures, but he says it's more convenient for me to be here, you know, with you guys, and help you guys to continue what God has put us here on earth to do. So when it comes to losing loved ones, it's never going to be easy. It's never going to be easy. But it should be a lot easier for the Christian because of God's word. Amen? And of course, tonight I just want to talk about three things. Because eventually, we're going to lose some loved ones. We obviously lost Brother Roe, and he is absent this evening. But we know where he's at. Where Christ is at. He's absent here, but he's in the presence of the Lord. You already saw all those verses that clearly teaches that Christ is in heaven on the right hand of the Father. You know, but we're eventually going to lose some loved ones. I think the closest person that I've lost in my life was my father. You know, my father, you know, he was taken away from me. You know, when I was back in California, we just got done with the Sunday evening service. I go home with my wife and my kids. And my mom, she just decided to just meet us out in the parking. So she comes out of the house, comes out, and she's crying. And I can clearly see that something is wrong. So right away, naturally, I asked, what's going on? What's wrong? And she said, your father. I'm like, what about him? He was kidnapped and he was murdered today. So of course, the first thing I thought was, wow. I was just kind of stunned. But you know what was the first thing I thought of? Well, I can't believe he's in heaven. Because just to let you know what happened, he went to prison, got out, I ran across him, and I was able to give him the gospel, and he was receptive. I guess he's kind of receptive after 10 years in prison. And he wasn't fighting the gospel. He received it. He was joyful. I prayed with him. Me and him, I helped him to call upon the name of the Lord. And unfortunately, it was what it was. A couple years later, maybe, he was taken home early. It would have been great for him to see his grandkids that are here in the auditorium. You know, I wish they would have been able to see him or at least be able to talk to him. You know, and of course, I look forward to spending more years with him after he got out. You know, but hey, God had other plans. And so God felt it was better for him to just be in heaven. And I can only imagine what's going on in heaven. Amen? But one of the things that helped me deal with this loss was I immediately thought that he was in heaven. I just couldn't believe, like, wow, I can't believe. Obviously, yes, of course, it was a shock that he was gone. But to me, it was like just, to me, it was more amazing that he was in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus Christ himself. So one of the things that I recommend when you finally have to have that conversation, have to have that day that will come to everyone, you know, when you finally lose that close person that you love, you know, with all your heart, is just to remember where they are. And this is why I wanted to point to 2 Corinthians 5:8, because it's crystal clear. You know, hey, we're confident. We don't wonder. We're confident that if you're absent from the body as a Christian, you are present with the Lord. And if you have your Bibles, go to John 14. Go to John 14. And just remembering where he is, in a sense, gave me joy. I didn't mourn like I thought I would if he was able to be taken away. Why? Because it's kind of hard to be very upset if you know that he's in heaven, which according to Philippians, you don't have to go there. You guys go to John 14. According to Philippians chapter number 1, verse 23, Paul's saying, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So Paul knew that being in heaven with Christ is far better. Why? Take a look right there at John 14. May not be a big reason, but I think this is a cool reason. And it says in John 14, 2, actually, let's start with John 14, 1. Let me go there myself. John 14, 1. Because, of course, when you lose a loved one, you're going to be in pain. It's going to hurt. You will mourn. It's natural. Nothing wrong with it. And, in fact, in the Bible, people mourn for many, many, many days. But we need to remember what Christ said, to not to let your heart get so troubled that it's hard for you to understand that, listen, yes, this person is gone. But never forget, like it says right there in John 14, 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Maybe it's a small thing to you, but to me, I think it's an amazing thing that my Father is in heaven, Kevin's in heaven, and they get to have a big mansion in the sky. I think that's something awesome that I believe that when we all get there, we're probably going to rejoice and leap for joy when you see that great is your reward in heaven. And we know that that's not the only thing that's going to be up there in heaven. Obviously, the ultimate thing is Christ, being able to be with Christ, not just Christ, but the other people that have gone before us, people from the Bible. You know, the Apostle Paul, you name your Bible hero, he's up there. And I'm assuming that he's probably already spoken to many of the guys that, you know, he loved, meaning Kevin. I'm sure he's already got the tour of his mansion. I'm sure he thinks it's awesome. I'm sure he can't wait for you guys to see it. But I'm sure he's hanging out with people that he admired from the Bible. And I'm sure he's hanging out with people who's probably gone before him that he probably was related to. But in the end, we need to remember that Kevin is in heaven. Your loved one, whoever you lose, when you lose them, they're in heaven. And that will help you rejoice. And it'll give you the strength, amen, to be able to deal when you lose loved ones. And of course, never forget that Kevin, he's having a good time in heaven. My father, he's having a good time in heaven. Hopefully somebody that knows what's going on earth can introduce my father to Kevin, and they can talk about how great I was, amen? But Luke 15, 10, I love this verse because it reminds me of what's going on in heaven. It says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There is joy. Joy in the presence of the angels. It's not the angels rejoicing. It's God's people rejoicing. Why? Because there's joy in the presence of the Lord. And I believe in Psalm 16:11 that says that there's joy forevermore in the presence of the Lord. And this is why, even though it's hard to believe, it's hard to accept, because we sometimes forget that this life isn't it. It's the next life. It's the next life that matters the most. But in Ecclesiastes, it talks about things that are better than others. In Ecclesiastes 7:1, it says, a good name is better. Better than what? Precious ointment. But that's not what the verse ends. Then it says, in the day of death, than the day of one's birth. What is Paul saying? He's saying that the day of the death of a Christian is better than the day of their birth. Why? Because they're in heaven. Why? Because they're rejoicing. Why? Because they're in the presence of God. Why? You name it, you fill in the blanks. I can only imagine how great heaven is. You know, but our loved ones who died in Christ, we know that they're not in hell. We know that they're in heaven rejoicing. And that's one of the things that if I were to give advice to anyone who loves someone, I would just constantly remind them, hey, don't forget where he's at. Don't forget who he's with. Don't forget what he's doing. But number two, don't forget what they want. Don't forget what they want. If you can, go to Luke 16, please. Go to Luke 16. And who am I talking about? They, our loved ones that have gone before us, that are in heaven right now. Let's just never forget what they want. And maybe you may be thinking, well, you know what? What if you don't know? What if you don't know if your loved one, whoever it may be, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your best friend, whoever, your child, what if you're not sure if they're saved or not? What if they're probably in hell? Then you know what? Let me just remind you, you guys are there in Luke 16. I don't obviously have an answer whether your relative is in heaven or not, because I don't know them. But one thing I can say is if they're saved, remember what they want, and what they want is what God wants. And let me remind you guys really quickly what he wants. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And of course, talk about the gospel. Romans 9:1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also beareth me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Romans 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This is talking about the Apostle Paul, what he desires, and he still desires it in heaven, and that for people to be saved. And maybe you may be thinking, well, I don't know if my relative was saved. Well, one thing I can guarantee you is if your relative is not saved, it's unfortunate, but if your relative is not saved, guess what he also wants, or she wants? They also want others to be saved. Amen? It's unfortunate that people go to hell. But I can tell you one thing. They're in hell. They want others to be in heaven. They don't want other people to join them in hell. Let's take a look at Luke 16. Go to verse number 19. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. It says there was a certain rich man which was clothed clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, talk about the rich man, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. It's unfortunate. This rich man is in hell. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which will pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So what do we see? An unsaved person, someone's relative, someone who died and went to hell. What is he wanting? He wants people to be saved. He wants his brethren to be saved. So when it comes to your loved one, when you lose them, hopefully you know that they're saved so you can have that peace that passeth all understanding. I hope there's no doubt in my kids' hearts whenever I go that I was saved. For the record, I've never preached damnable heresy. I've never said goofy stuff like you have to give your life to Jesus or you have to surrender or any of that stuff. You guys should know me well enough that I'm hardcore easy believism. That's what brought me to Faithful Word. That's what convinced me that Pastor Anderson was the real deal. First time I heard him preach, I'm sure it was similar to you guys, where it's probably something you never heard before and it might have offended you. For me, it was about Bible college, because I grew up old IFB, or I went to an old IFB church, and they were all about Bible college. Go to Bible college. Young man, you should give 2 years to the Lord. Yes, I need to pay, you know, the building bills and all that, but that has nothing to do with it. Just give 2 years to the Lord and come to my Bible college. That's pretty much what I heard. And to me, it seemed decent. Okay, you go to Bible college, you meet your wife, you get married, you become a missionary or a pastor or whatever the case. I just was never down charging kids $10,000 pretty much a semester to learn the Word of God. That just never sat well with me. But the first sermon I ever heard from Pastor Anderson was why Bible college is unscriptural. And I'm thinking, no way. There's no way I've been lied to this entire time I've been going to church for almost 8 years. And man, did he destroy that whole system where Bible colleges was basically told to young people that is what God wants you to do. But he made it very clear through scriptures that it's not. But then, of course, I didn't know Pastor Anderson was the real deal. I had no clue. But I knew one thing. It's embarrassing 8 years into an old IB church. I didn't know the Bible like I thought I should have. But there was one thing I knew, and that's what salvation was. If there was one thing I knew, is that eternal life is a gift. So I went and to see what this man believed about salvation. And I couldn't believe that he was more hardcore about easy believism than I was. There was just no doubt in my mind, you know, that he was the real deal once I listened to, like, the first sermon. But then the second one confirmed it. The third one confirmed it. And it was the same sermons you guys probably heard of before. 1, 2, 3, repent after me, easy believism. Who's listening to those sermons from back in 2009 or 7 or whatever? But for me, it was like, man, this guy's the real deal. There's no way. And, of course, things didn't work out with my old church, and I decided to come to Faithful Word, and I haven't regretted it since I came. Amen? But there's no doubt, God forbid, if Pastor were to go today, no doubt in my heart he's saved. Knowing that makes it easier, knowing that he's in heaven. But I think Pastor Anderson is going to live a very long time, so his haters better stop waiting for something to happen, because I don't think it's going to happen. But obviously, besides people in heaven, we know from Luke 16, that people in hell, you know, they're probably humble now if they were arrogant. Burning in hell would do that to you. But what they want in hell is for us to go out there and reach their relatives. And that's one thing we can never lose focus that will help you to stay focused and continue the mission that God has here in your life. Because we're here to do the same thing that Christ did. And let me just go over a few verses. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And that's what we're here to do. God still wants that. And yes, of course, we know that the Apostle Paul is in heaven. And I bet you he still wants Jews to be saved. Same thing with people that are in heaven. I bet they want their relatives here on earth to be saved. And let's never forget that, because that's what they want. Whether you're in heaven or hell, these people is what they want. And so when it comes to losing loved ones, hey, remember where they're at. They're in heaven. They're having a joyful time in heaven. They have their mansion to enjoy. Other things, I'm sure, are in heaven. Besides that, remember what they want. You think heaven wants us to stop going soul winning or do more soul winning? Absolutely. I guarantee you, my father never went one day soul winning, which I wish he would have at least gone once, but he never did. I bet you he's in heaven looking down like, hey, keep doing what you're doing, son. I didn't understand it, but I understand it now. And I look forward to seeing him again. It helps to cope with it. Because sometimes they can get depressed and like, man, when I see my kids growing up, man, I wish my dad was here to just see his grandkids grow up. But you know what? Can't do anything about that. But I know one thing. He's in a better place, amen? Which is far better than being here. So besides that verse, Mark 16:15, go and preach the gospel to every creature. We all know this is what God wants, but it's also what our loved ones want. To keep pushing forward, keep getting people saved. That's what they want us to continue to do. And that's what I'm here to remind you guys that, hey, this is what we ought to do. But you guys are Faithful Word. You guys already know that. So besides knowing that our loved ones are gone and they're in a better place, besides remembering that, hey, even though they're gone, they still want us to go out there and continue the mission to win souls, get people saved, get them baptized, help them grow. Besides that, I think what'll help you when you lose your loved one is to remember why you're here. It's to remember why you're here. Because when you lose that loved one, thoughts can start creeping into your heart. When you lose that loved one, it is what it is. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can start thinking things that you shouldn't be thinking. And I'll give you an example. Suicide. Suicide is something that crosses people's minds when they lose a loved one. Someone that they looked up to or somebody that they had in their lives that they end up losing. I remember I was in the academy and my TO, my training officer, T.O. Dean, He warned us. He's like, guys, you're in a profession where you're going to get close to people. You're in a profession where something might happen. But I'm here to warn you. God forbid you would ever lose a partner out there in the streets. Make sure you do everything in your power to get help if you start getting suicidal. Because that's what he did. He got suicidal when he lost his partner. His partner got shot on the freeway. Back in California, there's this part of the freeway in Northern California named after the guy who got killed, who my TO was friends with, close friends with. And he told us a story that he was upstairs, depressed, crying. And he took his gun. He took his gun and he loaded it. And he put it on his head. And he was going to squeeze the trigger. Because he couldn't handle that his best friend is no longer with him. That he lost his best friend in the line of fire. And he said, the only thing that kept me from shooting myself in the head was when I heard my kids moving around downstairs. As soon as I heard them, I cracked and I just put the gun down. And then I realized, what am I thinking? He was this close from taking his own life upstairs. And when he heard his kids moving around, he stopped himself from doing that because he realized, what am I doing? This is not what he would want me to do. I'm still here. I haven't even finished raising my kids. You know, that's why I'm still here. That's my purpose, to still raise my kids. And I'm not saying that everyone's going to struggle the way that my TO did, but it can happen. Because he lost focus as to why we are here. Now, he had a different idea of why he was here. He felt like, I could never do this. I should never do this because I'm here for my kids. I can only imagine my kids coming upstairs and seeing me on the ground in a pool of blood. Those thoughts made him stop from taking his own life. And he went, of course, and got therapy, fought it, dealt with it, and told us the story. It's like, hey, this can happen. Don't lose focus. You guys have a purpose. God gave you life. And of course, what is our purpose? We all know why we're here. If you're right there, can you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5? You can go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Go ahead and meet me in verse 18. Because let's face it, people in the Bible, they got depressed. People in the Bible felt it was best that they were gone. I'm not going to say who it was, but I remember talking to a church member on the way to Mexico. We were having a trip one day, and they're like, you know what? I'm glad that God doesn't always answer our prayers. And we're thinking, what do you mean? Because many times I've asked God to just take me home, and I'm glad he didn't listen. I'm not going to say who it is, but I will say this. They're not in this room right now, amen? They moved on to another state, do bigger and better things. So don't be looking around like, is it you? Is it you? No, it's not. Nobody in this room. They haven't gone through a church in a couple years, but they said that, and I was like, amen in my heart, because I've had those thoughts, but I don't even have the guts to say it out loud. Amen. It can happen if it happened to great men of God, where they're like, Lord, I'm not even worthy to live. Just take me home. God's like, no, I got work for you to do. It's just human to have those thoughts. Man, I'm struggling with this. Man, I'm struggling with that. Lord, just take me home. Why you got me here all miserable? Is that what you want me to do? Just be here, be miserable? A person that thinks like that has forgotten why they're here. Amen? And if you're right there in 1 Corinthians 5:18, it says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. That's where we're here. We're here to go out there, and like it says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So when you're dealing with losing loved ones, I can only imagine the pain you're going to go through. For me, I had pain when my father was taken away, but it wasn't as painful as I thought it was going to be, probably because at that time I'd already been going to church for about 7 or 8 years. I already had a strong foundation, and the first thing that popped in my mind was, wow, I can't believe he's gone. In heaven. That helped me to cope with it. And it will help you as well. And even if my father wasn't saved, you know what? Luke 16 continues. If he were to like not be in heaven, and my grandfather died, I believe, a month ago. He died at 106 years old. But one thing I knew about that man is that he was not saved. The last time I saw him was maybe 6 months ago. Haven't seen him in years. Somehow my uncle got a hold of me and he's like, hey, just so you know, it's like we're over here in this part of Mexico. You know, your grandpa's here. Your uncle's here, et cetera, et cetera. He's like, hey, we're just letting you know because he's going to go back to, you know, another state in Mexico that's a lot further. From what I hear, you're in Arizona. You're in Phoenix, right? I'm like, I am. He's like, hey, you want to come down? We're like about maybe 3.5-4 hours away from you. I'm like, absolutely. Because guess what I wanted to do right away? I wanted to give him the gospel. So I told my wife, hey, guess where we're going right now? Mexico. Grab the passports. We got to go. Where's my wife at? Remember that? Less than 24-hour notice. Just one call. Hey, guess where we're going? Mexico. We're going now. What's going on? Just start finding the passports. We're going. Grandpa is like 4 hours away. I don't know how much time he has left. He's over 100 years old. So I got that 100-year-old gene, amen. So I ain't going nowhere. I got that 100-year-old gene. So those haters, hey, keep hating. You're going to die 80, 90. I'm going to 100. And if not, oh well. Y'all know where I'm going to be if I leave soon. That's why I kept telling my wife, hey, we got to go talk to grandpa. We got to go talk to grandpa. We got to go talk to grandpa. It's like, I don't care. Just get in the car. We'll get there. 4 hours, 5 hours later, across Mexico, ran into my uncle I haven't seen in a while, ran into everybody else I haven't seen in a while, went to the house, and there's grandpa. Can't see, blind as blind can be, but he can hear. He can hear pretty well. Then sure enough, I'm like, grandpa, it's me. You know, it's Chris. You know, your son, Nano's son. He's like, I know. And the first thing he says is, I heard you switched religions. How? Who told this man that? I'm like, well, grandpa, have you ever been to a Baptist church? Remember that conversation, Joan? He's like, Well, let me tell you the difference. Most important thing to us is making sure people go to heaven, grandpa. Because if you die right now, gramps, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? And my uncles are there, my aunt is there, and I'm giving the gospel to them in Spanish. And I'm like, here we go. They made it easy. In the next 20 minutes, hey, the gospel was presented nice and clear. And I was like, hey, that's what I believe, grandpa. Does it make sense? But do you believe it too? He's like, well, son, I don't think I'm going to change. But my uncles, they were a little bit more receptive. At that point, all I can do is just say, grandpa, well, here's what the Bible says. If you die, guess what? You're not going to go to heaven. It's 100% a gift. It's all by faith. The Catholic Church teaches something totally different. And I'm sorry, but that's what it takes to go to heaven. That's what I believe. And if that makes you mad at me, then so be it. But he was cool. He didn't really think much of it. But I don't know why that was in his heart to bring up right away. I heard you switch religion, son. How dare you leave the Catholic Church, boy? I'm like, I did what I did because it is what it is. It's the truth. Amen? But I knew, hey, this is why I'm here. It's like, Joan, we got to go. This is why he called me. I don't know how they got my cell number, but we're going. And I was able to give, you know, my uncles, my aunts, all the gospel clear. They had questions, answered many questions as I could. And I don't know, maybe they believed it, maybe they didn't. But if I have to say, what do you think? I think he's in hell. Sad. I could just imagine what he's going through right now. But one thing I know for sure is that, hey, he wants me to keep going, and he wants me to keep preaching, and he wants me to get people saved, because the rich man also wanted that as well. And I can't just focus all on myself when I lose loved ones, because it is what it is. We have to put God first. But the good thing is, what God wants is what our loved ones also wants, like I said earlier. And so, of course, we're here. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You have a purpose. Why do I bring it up? Because we're human. And if T.O. Dean, after losing his best friend, having kids, having a wife, goes upstairs, grabs his service pistol, puts it on his head, ready to squeeze the trigger, if he can get suicidal like that, I think that's a sin common to men. Amen? And just because we're saved doesn't mean that we are not able to do such a thing. By knowing that your loved ones are in a better place, knowing that your loved ones want you to go keep people safe, knowing that your loved ones want you to remember why you're here, We're ambassadors of Christ. We're here. We have the ministry of reconciliation. Go out there and reconcile people to Christ. Never give up. Let God decide when it's time for you to go, not you. And that's why I bring these verses up, because it's crystal clear that it's painful when we lose people. Just look at Scripture. Even when Jacob thought his son Joseph was gone, look how he was just destroyed pretty much his whole life. And besides that, I just want you guys tonight to remember that we just have to, when we lose people, just honor them in the best way we can. You know, grieving is one of the ways to honor them. But not just that, we just got to remember, like I said earlier, just remember where they are. You know, remember what they want. Remember why you're here. And one day, us who are saved, hey, we will be reunited, amen? We will be reunited with them. Until then, let's just keep honoring the memory of Brother Kevin, you know, by living faithfully. I'm pretty sure that's what he wants us to do, by continuing to win souls. I'm glad that you guys got together in honor of Brother Kevin to go out there and win souls. That was something that I thought was amazing. And we may never understand exactly what happened. We can all speculate. But at the end of the day, I think Faithful Word, because of Kevin, is the most humble it's ever been. That's what I believe. Is more God-fearing than it's ever been. And at the end of the day, all the rewards you guys get, when you get to heaven, let's give Kevin some of them, amen? Here you go, bro. These rewards are for you. I don't know if that's possible. Probably not. Knowing Kevin, he's like, hey, keep your own. I got my own, bro. But of course, let's honor those that we love, not by giving up, but by living faithfully, winning souls, and just continue to look forward to that glorious day where we'll be united in the presence of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I'm 32 minutes in, probably one of the shortest messages I've ever preached. You guys are probably saying amen, I know. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And I want to end it with that verse. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for all the great things you've done for us, for this amazing building, Lord, that you've given us. Father, we just can never thank you enough. But help us, Lord, to honor you and honor the loved ones that have gone before us, Lord, by continuing to stay faithful until the very end, until we're finally gone as well from this earth. And Lord, always help our loved ones that are left behind to remember that we are in a better place. We are with Christ, which is far better, and we are in joy, Lord. And Lord, just help us all to be able to deal, you know, with the death of loved ones and losing loved ones when it comes. And we ask you to do all this for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.